I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
We really like to use the soundtracks to films as kind of a soundtrack to our household. It's really amazing how much our kids can remember what's happening in a movie and see the movie in their mind and in their imagination when they're just listening to the soundtrack. There are the different themes that they can pick out once they're listening to the soundtrack.
Dad Experience.
Welcome again to the Dad Experience. Very excited about today's episode. Today we have on Andrew, who is one half of the children's music group, Andrew and Polly. They also have a podcast called Ear Snacks for younger kids and parents alike. They're a great duo. They have a lot of different albums out, a lot of fun music. If you haven't had a chance to listen to them or don't know who they are, go check them out. And we're going to find out a little bit more about Andrew, his family, and all his music. Welcome, Andrew, to the Dad Experience.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Oh, super glad you're here to be with us. We always love having musicians on our show, especially musicians that are dads. So it's a lot of fun to talk to them. I'm sure my listeners are sick of hearing it. I teach music too, so it's like I have a soft spot for musicians and music, and especially family music and music for kids.
So. Oh, fantastic! Yeah, I used to teach as well. I don't do that as much now, but I used to do some family music work, and I taught some high school music composition. Electronic music stuff.
Ooh, electronic music. What did you use to teach?
You know what? I feel like back in the day we had something like Cakewalk or Finale,
yep.
Something. Yeah, some old school, yep. MIDI sequencers. Don't really use those much anymore. But
When I first started teaching it, we had DAWs like, I can't remember, they were like Korg DAWs that I used to teach on. I used to program all into like a 24 track like. thing, and then you have a keyboard hooked up and have to do it all kind of manually.
Absolutely.
No, that's all gone now.
No, we used to in college, I feel like we had this massive like Pro Tools DAW that was its own setup, you know, but it was this massive console that you needed to work in many, many, many different facets just to track things and then bring them into a different mix. And it's not like that anymore.
Yeah, no, and then I remember too that we'd have to have rewire to work with,
sure.
with Pro Tools,
sure.
to make it. It was a lot of like hoops that aren't there anymore.
Oh, you know your stuff. I didn't realize you're so much of a music head.
Well, I taught that's what I first started teaching, like a high school general music class, and it was all like popular songwriting and composition. So,
how old are your kids?
Cool, my students or my own personal
your
kids?
your own personal kids.
My oldest is just turned 3 in October, and my youngest is about 1.5 years old.
Oh, you're just hitting it, man. You're just
yeah,
right there.
Just hitting it. Yeah. Well, we always, and you know, that's a good question to start with, because we always start our show off with who lives with you at home and what's the makeup of your family.
Sure. I live with Polly, who is also my partner in crime, musically. We are Andrew and Polly to the kids' world. And we also, make music and work together on a lot of different composition projects. And we have our two kids. Izzy is 5.5, and our daughter Gertie is 2.5. And that's our house right now.
Yeah. So your 2.5 is kind of like where I'm at with our oldest. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like trying to get through that. So can you tell me what do you think? Because you got a little bit older one too. What was worse, the terrible twos or the threes?
Oh, three for sure. Twos are nothing.
I know. I'm starting to see that. I think they need to change that, that whole mantra.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think, you know, back in the day, you know, you go through the phases of total dependence, and then they start exploring the world. And maybe that happens at 1.5 or 2, really, you know, getting out there. But then 3 is when they're really starting to negotiate the limits of their own power, right? I feel like, you know, you really have to understand that you can't control the whole world. And our 5-year-old is kind of regressing and going back through that same phase, which I think a lot of kids do when they start kindergarten, because they have to work really hard to keep it together and like follow all these new rules and try these new things with other 5-year-olds for 5 hours, 6 hours a day, and then they totally lose it in the afternoons. I bet other dads out there are experiencing that same thing if their kids are starting school.
You know, and I haven't seen much experience with this, but I've also been seeing a lot, you know, because everything's gone to full day kindergarten now. Mm. So it's like, I'm sure that's even different from when we, like I was a kid. I don't know if you went to full day. I went to half day kindergarten when I was a kid. So it's a totally different experience, I think.
Yeah, I think I went to half day, and our son's kindergarten is basically half day. They get out around 1:30, but then there's aftercare, and being working parents, you know, we like most people have to have your kids doing something, but a lot of the time it's still as structured as the first half of the day. So they're just spending a whole day of largely structured things. And I think it's really healthy and important for kids to have that freedom, or that the ability to at least, you know, express their own ideas and play and make their own mistakes instead of kind of focusing all day. That takes a toll.
Right. Right. So you guys are your children's musicians and create music for children. How did you guys kind of get started into that? What kind of led you to that?
Yeah, well, children's music only recently became the main piece of what we do. And we still do a lot of other music. Polly is an electronic music composer and songwriter. And I started off kind of doing film music and orchestral stuff, you know, the big stuff. And we moved from New York to LA to find more work in those areas, songwriting and film music. But we just, when we moved, we had decided to make a kid's record because we had a studio in Brooklyn. And, before we left, we're like, oh, we need to make a record for our nieces and nephews and all that before we leave. And we did it. And when we came out to LA, we just decided to start, playing shows as a duo, around little spots in LA. To take a break from studio work, honestly, because we're writing music for commercials and music for indie films and all stuff that's really demanding, and working under other people's briefs and other people's creative ideas. And when you're performing for kids, it's an entirely different experience, because you suddenly get back to kind of the roots of music, which is, you know, what can I do with my body and my hands in a space with other people that lights them up a little bit, you know? And it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, branding or creative expectations or fulfilling someone else's narrative. It's just, a beautiful, live experience. And we just, fell in love with it, and fell in love with making kids laugh and smile, and realize that's an important piece of the like creative work that we like to do anyway. So, so now we write music sometimes for kids' television, sometimes other kids' film stuff or animated things. And we have our own little band, Andrew and Polly, you can hear us on satellite radio a bunch. And we have a podcast that plays on satellite radio, and, it's a podcast for kids. And it's on anywhere you get podcasts. So, nice. we like making things for the little people and the families now.
Yeah. So what, you know, kind of looping back to what you talked about is creating for kids and creating music for young ones. Why do you think, especially with your background, cause you've done education and done a lot of outreach with that. Why do you think, I like to ask this of all musicians, cause it's a little bit different all the time, but why do you think that creating and sharing music is so important for our children?
Oh my God. I think everybody knows it intuitively. It's a chance for people to have emotional connections and have community without thinking about that directly. You know, I think kids can feel their own identities out when they're listening to different music and try on different hats. You know, our son likes to listen to, you know, hard rock and techno and stuff like that. And he likes to listen to the normal Disney stuff and musical theater things. And, you know, we listen to old film scores from old movies like Alice in Wonderland and things like that. And he imagines different worlds when he's listening to it. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine, but I know it's an essential part of our family and the way we kind of just relax as a family together. And it helps move the days along and helps us, you know, expand our imaginations.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree totally. It is. It's a communal thing. I think it's important to share music together. And it's one of the places where you can share the broad range of emotion in like a 2-minute song, I would imagine. So it's pretty neat to see it. And it's pretty neat to see how kids interpret it. Cause sometimes when we get older and we start interpreting music, I feel like we get really technical or we get real deep with it, and kids will just listen to it And they'll get deep into it, but it'll be a different perspective that you'll never even think about.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're not really necessarily into breaking down the poetry as much as, and the inner life of things, you know, that comes later. But for our young kids, it's definitely just raw emotions and vibes and helps them, you know, feel like they're connected to this bigger human experience that we're all doing.
And what I don't know about you, but what I like to experience when I experience music with my kids is whenever I go to a live performance, I feel like I'm always critiquing. I teach band, so I'm always trying to make it that perfect performance. Or when I went to school, it was like, you're not going to have a perfect performance, but you're going to try and get as close to that perfect performance as you can. So it's like, I feel like when I'm with my kids, I can enjoy the music for what it is rather than trying to do it, you know, to make it perfect or analyze it, to make it better every time I do it.
Absolutely. And you get back to the simplicity of things. You know, we have a cool kids music community here in LA. And when we go out to see other kids musicians or things that are designed for young kids, the things that they light up the most about are just, you know, getting into different grooves and then seeing the humor in something and seeing the things they can latch onto and the hooks and whatnot, which is what we try to do whenever we're playing live. We insert a lot of humor and a lot of interactivity with kids and families that are up near the stage. But it's almost the opposite when we're making a record or when we're making a score for a show or a film. It's that super meticulous, kind of like you trying to guide your bands into making everything exactly right. And, you know, there's definitely mad scientist elements of the perfectionist in us that likes to do that when we're making music. But you also need to be able to let go and realize this is just about joy for most people, especially young people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's important. That's important to see that. So how do you guys, well, first of all, I was thinking you said your son enjoys techno music.
He enjoys everything. He focuses on anything with big drums for sure.
You have to visit Detroit now because, you know, it's the home of techno music.
Oh, absolutely. It's the home of so many things. You got Motown. Well,
it is,
Motown.
Yeah. But I mean, that one was one that a lot of people don't realize that techno was like kind of the stomping ground for the beginning of techno.
I did not realize that. Who are your main, your originators?
There was a duo. Don't, you're catching me up for a long time.
All right.
I am in front of a computer, but I could totally look it up probably. But it was one of the originating cities for it, which is why we have the huge big techno music festival around Memorial Day every year.
I would love to visit Detroit. There's a lot of cool kids music that happens around Michigan up there too. We tour around California a lot and sometimes Colorado and the Southwest, but and we've been to the Northwest and we've been to Florida and Georgia and New York, but we'd like to visit more states for sure.
Yeah. You know, it's cool music scene definitely here in the Detroit area. Like you said, there's a lot going on with that. So how do you guys get your ideas for music for kids? Is it things you experience with your children at home, or is it just random ideas that pop in your guys' head? How do you kind of come up with your ideas for your albums and your music?
Well, we for sure have started this trend, and it's very evident in our last record, Go for the Moon, which just came out this September. We like to take little nuggets of life, the ridiculous nuggets of parenthood or of childhood, and we kind of explode those into massive genre pieces. So on this record, we did a whole kind of Bruce Springsteen Coming to America ode to the journey that is a family trying to get to the aquarium, and we did a kind of almost Bohemian Rhapsody epic rock opera type piece about trying to remember a mom's name at carpool pickup, which is an experience that that many of us have. So it's you know, we love to just take tiny little nuggets that are true to our family, but we think are universal and true to so many families out there, and make hooky choruses out of them and kind of make them larger than life and make the whole family smile, as whether they're rocking out or just kind of bobbing their heads. That's kind of what we do.
Yeah. Well, this is a great place for us to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can catch our podcast on their app, which you can get at the Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes Store. Just search for the Parents On Demand. And stick around after the break. We're going to talk to Andrew a little bit more about his music, about being a dad, all those great things. So stick around after the break for more. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We are here with Andrew, musician, dad, not only children's musician, but score music for TV and commercial. So a lot of experience there musically, as well as being a parent. So really excited to continue this conversation. Before the break, Andrew, you talked a little bit about your album Go for the Moon that came out this past September, and you talked briefly on how you get little nuggets from your parenting, but is that kind of like been the whole inspiration of that album, or did it have a theme going on through the whole thing, or is it just kind of all independent tracks? Can you kind of give our listeners a rundown of that or a summary about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've made, this is our fifth album, and we've done a holiday album before, and our first album coming out of Brooklyn. And the other two albums we've done we did one, which was entirely songs, that we wrote for our podcast. And we did one that was just kind of an assortment of songs, but a lot of the records kind of feel, like, oh, this is just an assortment of different songs that these people like to make. And they're all hooky and unique in their own rights, but they don't necessarily have a through line, because we come from the world of composing for advertising and composing for TV. We like to work in lots of different genres. And this album is not different in that regard. It's definitely a bunch of different genres, but it does kind of have a through line in that we really think of parenthood and childhood as a journey. And each of these songs kind of captures that, adventurous journey, in a musically adventurous way. So on this record, we had a whole horn section. We had, trumpet and trombone and saxophones, playing on a bunch of tracks. We have Polly playing violin and all the guitars and whatnot. We have some cello, and we have some rap from our friend and collaborator Mr. Cookie Jar, but basically this whole large musical kitchen sink is kind of the most ambitious musical project we've done for kids. And so it's going for the moon in that sense, going for something big. But also each meshes of the song, some of them are a little more serious, but most of them are really lighthearted. They're about, despite this ridiculous life that we're all leading and the ridiculous challenges we all face, you still need to dream big and go for it. And kids get that message a lot, but I don't know if they necessarily get it all in one kind of aspirational, fun, danceable album like this. So that's what it is. This is something to put on your car when you're ready to really roll for a good adventure, a good road trip, or a good trip to the aquarium. You should be playing this record.
Great. So, the flip of what I asked earlier in the first half of the show, do you incorporate music into your parenting style, or do you utilize it at all for any learning situations or just anything at all in your household? You briefly talked a little bit about this, how you're listening to music a lot as a family, but do you ever incorporate it into your parenting, or how do you incorporate it into your parenting?
Ooh, that's a good question. Our kids are young. As I said, our oldest son just starting kindergarten, so he's just really getting into any academic stuff. So we haven't really used music to work as a memory tool or anything like that. But we do, we really like to use the soundtracks to films as kind of a soundtrack to our household. It's really amazing how much our kids can remember what's happening in a movie and see the movie in their mind and in their imagination when they're just listening to the soundtrack. There are the different themes that they can pick out once they're listening to the soundtrack, and, oh, this is, from How to Train Your Dragon. Oh, this is Toothless's theme. And, oh, this is the, the different, battle themes, and this is happening here. And then when they go back and watch the film, they start to notice the effect that the music is having on the experience. Oh, that's Astrid's music, because he's thinking about Astrid right now. And it gives a whole nother layer to the way they think about the film. So it's kind of this cool feedback loop that we have in our house that also lets us do road trips, and a lot of, random around the house time, dinner prep, or, you know, getting them ready for school in the morning without any screens involved. I know it's definitely a challenge for parents to decide how to introduce screens to their kid or what kind of media diet they're going to have. But one really useful trick that we have in our house is soundtracks for movies. Instead of playing a show, you can just let them imagine a show or a movie. And podcasts. We listen to not just our podcast. Our son has listened to a bunch, but there's a whole bunch of really amazing podcasts out there for kids now that aren't just science and stories, but there's philosophy podcasts for kids and yoga podcasts for kids, and lots of different audio vibes that you can introduce into your day that make things like bath time or brushing your teeth or getting ready for dinner better than just kids running around destroying things or just watching a show. Gives you another option.
Yeah, and I would have never thought of that. You know, as a kid, we did a lot of music. My mom was a music teacher too. But whenever we went and did like saw a movie or watched a TV show or whatever, and if it was a – well, most of that stuff is already a book, we were always read the book first and then, you know, kind of see that film. You know, I'm thinking back to things like Jurassic Park.
Sure.
And even before that, I would always read those books first and then you would see the movie. But I never would have thought the flip for that with music and even being a musician. I can't believe I ever did this, but it's a great idea for our kids to kind of see that. And then when they're watching the film, it's not necessarily just watching it only for its surface value. You're listening and thinking critically about the film because you're listening for those themes and kind of drawing from that, which is pretty cool.
It's very cool. I'm super impressed with the way my son can do this, and my daughter's already starting to do it. You know, she knows in Moana when the grandma's theme is happening and before the grandma comes on the stage and all that. You know, so it's cool to see their eyes and ears connect.
No, that is it's so neat. That's and I'm going to start doing that with my kids more. So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. So you know, before we close out our show here today, what tell us a little bit about your podcast and what it's about and why it's great for our families.
Sure. It's called Ear Snacks. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts. And it's basically me and Polly using our big network of kids that are interested in our music. And since we can't travel to every state, we'd like to go to Detroit. But there might be some families in Detroit that want to interact with us. So we thought to ourselves, what if we use the power of iPhones to allow kids to send us voice memos of their thoughts about things. And we'll collect all these thoughts and put them together and mash them up into kind of a remixed little audio montage. And so that's the basis for each episode. We take a topic that's very tangible to kids, like teeth or rain or shadows. And we kind of explore it from a lot of strange, odd angles. But the main piece of each episode is a question and answer session that parents do with their kids all around the world. We've had people submit from New Zealand and Brazil and Spain. And we'll get 5, 6, 7 kids per episode talking about the same topic and answering questions in similar and different ways. And so you get to see this amazing level of connection between kids around the world talking about the same topic. And you get to see the variety and diversity of how older kids, 7-year-olds, think differently about something than 3-year-olds think about it. And the way kids raised in a forest think differently than kids raised in a city, or have different experiences and different relationships to bugs or to hats. You know, you can take these small tangible topics and then expand them out to help you think about the entire world. And that's how we think of education for our kids. We think of it as very constructivist. You know, we try and take what their experience is and help them figure out what the next question is, what the next question about that topic would be, what the next way to explore that thing would be. And that's kind of what we model on the podcast and ask kids around the world to do with their families. So there's, of course, a lot of music in it. We write some original songs and we score it with our kind of quirky, you know, electro music-y kind of thing. So it's kind of like Radio Lab for kids. That's the idea.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I hope get a lot of people from the dad experience listening to it, because that's such a great concept and a great thing for our families and kids to do together. Like you said, it kind of takes you from that screen, but takes it away because you're experiencing it, and you're also experiencing world culture along the way, which is so important for our kids, especially nowadays.
Absolutely. And it's a really calming thing for kids and families to do, just to change the dynamic, change the energy in your car ride or in your prep time while kids are playing with blocks or something while you're making dinner. It allows you to share something. It's a little bit different than a lot of other media that kids are experiencing these days, getting off watching a show by themselves or playing with a pad or an app by themselves. When you're listening to something, it's broadcast around the room and it becomes kind of a communal experience. So it's not just noise that the parents have to ignore. It can be something that both the parents and the kids can be interested in at the same time. And we've done this with our kids, and they really enjoy, they obviously like watching TV and movies, but they really enjoy listening as well. And you kind of see this, you see their eyes go into this cool imagination space where they're doing their work, but they're also listening to it and thinking about something else at the same time. And it's, I don't know exactly. There's not very much research on this yet. Polly and I started an organization with a few other kids podcasts called Kids Listen, which started 4 years ago. And, there were only a handful of kids podcasts at that point. There were like 10 or 12 of them, and now there's hundreds. And we represent a whole bunch of them with our organization. So if your listeners are interested in checking out anything about kids podcasting, we're going to put out some new research that we're doing ourselves. And there's obviously recommendations for all the different kinds of kids podcasts you could get into or you could be interested in if you go to kidslisten.org. That's a really great resource.
Great. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes too.
Sweet.
But before we close out the show, we have a reoccurring segment here on the Dad Experience, things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes.
Ah.
So maybe something that you've seen through your children's eyes, or you can't wait to see through your children's eyes. It could be something that's already happened. It could be a film, and it could be an experience. We've had the gamut here on the Dad Experience. No answer is wrong. So is there something that you're really excited to share or see through your children's eyes?
Oh my goodness. That's the most exciting question. Our son is really just starting to do some of my favorite things from childhood. He's really getting into Legos, which is amazing. And I can work on that with him for hours. He's wanting more and more advanced Legos. So we'll see what the grandparents get him, for Christmas. He's also, just asked me to sign him up for basketball, and we've started watching basketball together. I'm a huge hoops junkie, and I coach some high school basketball, and I try and play a lot here, but I haven't really gotten him into it because I don't want to put pressure on him to do it. And I love the sport so much. I wouldn't want him to try it and then not want to do it. I want it to be, I want him to really be interested in it, but he's just asked me to sign him up for basketball the next season with his after school program. And I can't wait to see how his brain starts working on that. And he's already starting to know, a cast of NBA players and the differences between them, and rooting a little bit, and using a little math in there. Like, he likes to be able to know read the double digit and triple digit scores and know the difference between them and stuff like that. So I'm excited to see how his those experiences start blowing up for him.
Yeah, great. And that's pretty cool. And I'm sure it'll be a neat experience to share together, but I totally agree too. It's kind of how I feel about music with my kids. It's like, I don't want to say, hey, you're going to play this instrument at, when you're four, you're going to start learning violin or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see them not like it. You know what I mean? So if they want to get there on their own, that's great. If they just want to support me, that's great too. So that's where I'm at too. I totally agree. Putting the pressure on them, but just kind of, I don't know. I don't want to ruin it for me either. I'm not being selfish, but
right.
I don't want to ruin it for myself if I'm disappointed in something. So hopefully they'll come to it in their own way. But no matter what, if we can share music together, that's important to me.
For sure.
Yeah. So how can folks find you? Kind of give us a rundown how they can find you on social media, the web, and how they can get all your great things you've got going on.
Oh, absolutely. And thanks for listening, all you parents out there. My wife and I make music under Andrew and Polly. You can find us at andrewandpolly.com. You can go to earsnacks.org to find out about Ear Snacks, the podcast, or type in Ear Snacks to any podcast engine, and type in Andrew and Polly to any music engine, and you'll find all of our music and Ear Snacks, the podcast. We have over 100 episodes of Ear Snacks out there. If you have any big road trips coming up, the music, there's holiday CDs out, and our new record Go for the Moon, which we're really super proud of, we'll see where it goes.
Where may some of these families find some of your film score or your TV score? Have you anything for children?
We did a whole bunch of songs and a little score for the show Wally Kazam, which is a good early literacy show that Nickelodeon makes, or made. They've did a few seasons. I worked on the first Smurfs movie, and I've scored a whole bunch of other random things for grown-ups, commercials and indie films. So, and documentaries, but my website, andrewbarkan.com, is slowly, under renovation, but you will definitely be able to find it, at andrewandpolly.com.
Cool. That's great. So, well, thank you so much, Andrew. I learned a lot today, so I know that our parents out there are going to learn a lot too. So we really appreciate you stopping by today.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, no problem. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is on all social media. Just search for the Dad Experience podcast and you'll find us. And if you have a question for me or have a show idea or you want to be on the show, email us experience@dad@gmail.com. We'd love to have you on. And until next time, thanks for listening to The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.